how did we get in this economic mess? And what is going to happen in the near future? Is it going to be that all the deficit spending is going to rescue us when it was deficit spending that got us in trouble? Highly doubt it. But you see, it's not only in America, it's the whole world. So I have a whole stack of things which I'm only going to read the headlines to you. I may read a little more than that. This one is entitled, U.S. Could Be Going Bankrupt. The United States is heading for bankruptcy according to an extraordinary paper published by one of the key members of the country's central bank. A ballooning budget deficit and a pension welfare time bomb could send the economic superpower into insolvency, according to Professor Lawrence Kotlikoff of the Federal Reserve Bank in St. Louis, a leading consultant to the U.S. Federal Reserve. You know, what was it they're saying, all this job stimulus that is going out there? I think they figured out that for every job it's going to, that they create is going to cost $275,000. Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to see it's not just the economics of the problem, but we're going to see that sin is the underlying problem, and it's not just economics. Bond market waits for Treasury to start monetizing debt. Now, what does monetizing debt mean? Monetizing debt means that you buy up all of these. It could be either treasuries that are out there, it could be mortgages, it could be loans on buildings, and it could be state bonds, so forth. And then what they do, they say, okay, these bonds are worth so much, or these debts are worth so much. So we're going to hold those in reserve and use this as an asset for which we can start lending money again. So that's how they monetize it. So when you see that happens, it's going to cause a lot of problems. The world faces total meltdown, financial meltdown. I don't know if you've been watching it, but the dollar has been going up, and the pound and the euro have been going down dramatically. Remember, less than 6 months ago, the euro was 150 toward the dollar, meaning this. If you bought a euro with a U.S. dollar, it would cost you $1.50 for the 1 euro. Now it is down below 130 and heading down even more. Likewise, the pound. Britain is just about bankrupt totally. And the pound used to be, 6 months ago, right at $2. I remember one time the pound was $2.04, meaning that if you wanted to buy a pound in exchange for American money, you would have to pay $2.04 for every pound. Now it's down to $1.31. I mean, it's just fallen tremendously and going to go down more. So here we have another headline. Global systemic crisis, new tipping point in March 2009 when the world becomes aware that this crisis is worse than the 1930s. Now, it's affecting the whole world. Here's another article. Looming collapse of Russia, China, and more. All of them are in trouble. Now, one of the reasons why the euro is in trouble is because they lent to the emerging markets, which were the emerging markets are considered Eastern Europe, Southern Mediterranean, North Africa, India, Southeast Asia, all of those countries, China, and so forth. The United States loaned out to those countries $800 billion. And the European Central Bank loaned out $3.5 trillion, or euros, 3.5 trillion euros. See, so in dollars, that's probably well over $4.5 trillion. So Germany's going down. Exports have dropped by about 12 or 14%. Everyone in Europe is angry. The Latin Europeans are angry at the Teutonics up north. Guess who that is? And Latvia, Estonia, Lithuania, Ukraine, and Poland are also angry at the Teutonians too, which then is Germany. And you see, those are all the countries that Germany conquered. And here they came in to help them out, but they loaned money on virtually hardly any security. Now, we're going to look at a couple of other things. All right. Let me look here. So right now, the rest of the world is stuck in a real dilemma because many of them thought that they could slip out of the dollar and go into the euro and have the euro be the major trading currency. But the euro is in worse shape. And even some economists say you don't want to buy a euro. No one wants the euro. So that totally defeated. And if you look at long bonds, U.S. treasuries, if you buy $100,000 worth of 30-year treasury bonds, you are going to pay $120,000 to get the 100,000 bonds because the dollar has appreciated so much. But that is going to turn out to be an illusion because when all of this spending catches up, there's going to be a penalty to come with that. Here's an article written by Evans Pitchard out of Britain. Biblical debt jubilee may be the only answer. Write it off. And we'll see why they need to write it off. Okay? And they do need to write it off. All right? But when that time comes, here's another article. Bankrupt states. California is about bankrupt. New York is about bankrupt. Other states are about bankrupt. And if you look at if you compare that with how the general population adheres to the Ten Commandments, you'll understand why, as well as the economic debacle. Now, North Dakota, which voted to ban abortion, does not have an economic downturn because the people there in general are keeping more of the commandments of God than others. So God is fair in his judgment. But here's another one. Bankrupt states equals con-con. Now, you know what con-con is? Constitutional convention. And they've been wanting to get a constitutional convention for a long time, and it takes 35 states to have a majority to call for a constitutional convention. And don't worry, they already have the new constitution already written and ready to go. They've been working on this for years. 33 states have voted for a constitutional convention. Only two more are necessary. So that's another one. Here's another one here. Constitutional convention coming soon. Probably so. Now tie all of this together with something that very few of us even know anything about. I picked up a little bit of it on the news where it was mentioned that Ben Bernanke, the Fed chief, was over in Basel, Switzerland, at a meeting for the Bank of International Settlement with all of the major central banks of the world, with all of their heads over there meeting at the same time. And little did I know until I read this whole rundown of it, was that they meet over there every couple of months. Now remember what we had in November? We're going to restructure the global financial system. It is coming. And here is a long report, but I won't get into it. But it shows that they are going to provide those meetings provide a forum for central bankers to discuss financial globalization, which means a global financial structure is coming. Now, as I mentioned in one of my letters, how soon is it going to come? And I've been debating back and forth in my own mind, will it be a world currency first? Because once they get the system set up, that's going to bring the U.S. down to the level of many other banks. But the problem is all the other banks are going down in proportion too. So we don't know exactly how it's going to come out. So I've been debating whether it will be a world currency or the Amero. And here's a headline, American Free Press, doomed dollar may make Americans beg for euro. Quite an article. So how did we get in this mess? Now I want you to take down just a few notes here if you can, so you can understand what it is. It is called leverage banking or leveraged borrowing, either one. But let's just go with leverage banking. And they were lending money out 30-1, which meant this. The bank would receive a dollar in the bank, so I'm going to keep it in simple terms here, and they could loan out $30. Other people would come in and say, I need a loan. Okay, well, we can loan 30 because we have $1 in reserve. Now, all the banks were doing it. So let's do a little multiplication and see what we come up with. If one bank does it for 30, and that $30 goes into 30 other banks, then those 30 banks do 1 to 30, and now you have $900 that they can loan out, supported by 30. So you go ahead and multiply that again, and those 900 banks, again, go 30-1, and you come out with 27,000. And so you bring it on down, you keep multiplying it on down, and you come down to the ninth increment at 30-1. And here's what you have. You have $6.5 trillion supported by $196 billion. And so you think of all the mortgages, all the loans, all the credit cards, and remember how, I think it was several years ago, I read a report that there were debts up to $53 trillion that Bank America had in derivatives. Now that's virtually the same as the 30-1. Now, when it starts collapsing, as long as it's expanding, it looks good. But when it starts collapsing, all of a sudden, you don't even have $1 to back up 30 anymore. And you don't have the income coming in because of the defaults. And that's what happened to Bernie Madoff. Bernie Madoff's scheme is no different than what is happening financially. So the only solution is going to be a world financial banking structure that can operate on a global basis. And we'll see what happens, see how that goes. But let's ask the question, how did we get into this kind of thing? Now let's come to Ezekiel 28. Because Ezekiel 28 talks about the powers of the one who became Satan, the devil. And Satan is the god of this world. And Satan is the one who has deceived the whole world, Revelation 12:9. So let's read here in Ezekiel 28. And let's see what this tells us. Now let's pick it up here in verse 14. You were the anointed cherub that covers, I have set you so. You were upon the holy mountain of God. You have walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. You were perfect in your ways from the day that you were created until iniquity was found in you. By the multitude of your merchandise, 30-1. Plus all the lies involved in it. They have filled your midst with violence, and you have sinned. Therefore I will cast you as profane out of the mountain of God, and will destroy you, O covering cherub, from among the stones of fire. Now it's very interesting. What are we going to receive when we enter into the kingdom of God? We'll see a little later the true riches of God. What was it that the angels were doing before they rebelled under Satan and fell? This must have some reference to it, because God expects his creation to work for him and to produce. We'll see that a little bit later on, even in the terms of money. Now notice, verse 18, by the multitude of your iniquities and by the unrighteousness of your trade. Lying, cheating, stealing, leveraging, marginal, so forth. And that's where we have it today. So no wonder it's going to collapse. So here you have at the ninth stage, $6.5 trillion in debt that people either need to pay or banks want to collect. And you come to the people who should pay, and they have no money. And the regulators go to the bank, and they say, you have to have so much reserve, and they don't have it because they have no income coming in, and everything is collapsing. So it's like an inverted pyramid. You start the $1 down here at the bottom, and it goes up, goes up, goes up to $6.5 trillion. And as long as everything is heading straight up, it looks like it's going to work. That's why it's called a Ponzi scheme. But when it falls over on the side, it's just like Humpty Dumpty, and you're not going to put it together again. So that's how everybody has been deceived. Now, in the simplest terms, that's how I can explain the mechanisms of how we are here. Now, you look at it with the U.S. government, too. All of their borrowing, all of their debt, they're not going to be able to borrow. What they're up to now is printing money. And if they monetize the debt, it will be the Federal Reserve that will monetize the debt. They will take all these unpayable notes and loans, and they will say, okay, we will give them a value of 25% of face value, and then we will use that to do our marginal lending again. They probably won't go with 30-1, but they probably will go with 10-1. And so that's how they're going to be able to loan money. So with this going on, and with it collapsing even more and more and more and more and more, that's why they gave $25 billion to Citibank. Now they need another 30. They gave 20 to Freddie Mac. Now they need another 35. See, because everything is going down. And this only works when everything is going up. And so they can keep putting the money in there, but they can never come up with enough money to cover 30-1 for all the debts everywhere. And when you have it 30-1 and then no one is paying, then what is left, that goes to 60-1, 90-1, and you have just absolutely no way of covering it. It would be like this. How are you going to pay your monthly bills of $900 if you only have 30? That's the simplest way of looking at it. Now let's come to Jeremiah, the sixth chapter, and let's see how everybody is involved. Now, I don't know if you've seen the ads about this new TV program or movie, which is called Lie to Me. Just saw the ad. Well, in the ad, the man who did the movie or did the documentary, I forget which it is, either one, it's a movie, whether it's a documentary or a movie. And he said that in his interviews with people, because he put them all on a lie detector thing, he said everyone he interviewed lied 3 times in 10 minutes. 3 times in 10 minutes. Now, that is only, that's part of the problem, but it reveals here what the problem really is. Let's come here to verse 13. For everyone from the least of them, even to the greatest, is greedy for gain. How can I get an advantage? Not only an illegal profit, but you have gambling, you have the lotto, you have confidence games. I saw a report the other day, interview on MSNBC, and the interviewer was interviewing a con man who conned people out of millions, 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 millions. And he was so good at it, he knew how they thought. And as soon as he was able to, and he said within 10 minutes he could know whether he could con them out of money or not. He would change identity. He even found out his best friend where he lived up in Washington had died. So he went up there and walked in and he got his birth certificate. And then he got his death certificate, which had his social security number, his mom and dad there, all the relatives there. He went down to the records of the government up there and he got a birth certificate for this in that name, which now he applied to himself. And then he went and got an ID card, a driver's license, and then credit cards. And now, as a con man, he just disappeared and no longer existed, except only those who could identify him. And he said that he could con people. He said he dressed up as a chief warrant officer with medals and everything like this, and went into the San Diego Naval station down there without any identification of all that he belonged to the Navy. He just walked in. No one's going to question him. He went up to the NCO Officers Club up there and established himself, and he was friendly and gregarious, and he made himself out to be an ex-Navy SEAL. Yes. And within 2 days, he got 10 people to put up 25, no, it was 20, 26 people to put up $10,000 apiece. Within 2 days, cash. So there is greed and lust in everyone. Need to understand that. For everyone from the least of them to the greatest of them is greedy for gain, from the prophet even to the priest. Everyone deals falsely. Everything is a lie. Now, we are going to see there are other sins that add to this. Because when you live a lie and you develop a criminal mind, like this fellow, this con man here, and he, you know, he was so good at it that it was incredible. People couldn't believe what he had done. All right? Verse 14, they have also healed the hurt of the daughter of my people, slightly saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. And everybody's looking for peace, and Obama's going to change the world. We'll talk about Obama in a few weeks here. We'll give him some time to do some more things so we know where he's headed. We'll talk about the economics here. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination of lying, cheating, stealing, committing adultery, murder, drugs, all of this? It saturates the very nation. Now what they're thinking of doing, because California needs money so bad, they are going to go bankrupt by the 9th or 10th of February, and the governor cannot get the legislature to do anything, and the legislature are all run by liberal Democrats that all they want to do is spend, and reward all of their friends, that there hasn't been a budget which should have been by June 30th. So you know what they're thinking of doing? Legalizing marijuana, because they can get a lot of tax off of it. California will go bankrupt because 100,000 people have already left California just this past year, So it's not just because of that, it's because of every sin under the sun and because people want to get rid of God. Did you hear the ridiculous thing that they did back in Minnesota this week? A judge said that you can't even mention the word prayer when you have a minute of silence in the schools. And with the current people who are in charge of America, they're going to get rid of God as fast as they can. You wait and see. However, I'll have to tell one good one here. This atheist came in and said, you know, I'm tired of all this discrimination against us atheists. You know, you have Christmas, you have Easter, you have New Year's, which are all cold holidays and part of the problem that we're talking about here. But we don't have a day. He said, yes, you do. And he believed in the Bible. He says, the Bible says, the one who says in his heart there is no God is a fool. So April 1st is your day, Fool's Day. April Fool's Day. Verse 15 again. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed, nor could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among those who fall. At that time I will punish them. They shall be cast down, says the Lord. And as you might go back and review the sermon that I did, who is to blame? The religious leaders that set the moral standard for the nation. And I've got another report that I have to give a sermon on, which I will. Some cleric, supposed to be Christian somewhere, said, homosexuality is a gift from God. So you look at it. Every sin under the sun. Verse 16, thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see and ask for the old paths where the good way is and walk in it. Oh, we don't want those commandments. We don't want, that's harsh, that's mean, that's judgmental. And you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. I also set watchmen over them, saying, hearken to the sound of the ram's horn. Now, the watchman just left office. His name is George W. Bush. Everyone hated him. But they don't know all of the things that they have done to protect the country. He said, hearken to the sound of the ram's horn. But they said, we won't hearken. Oh, no, if they like us, they won't hate us anymore. Well, how are you going to make them like you when you're so abominable? I mean, America as a nation has less morals than the Muslims. Think of it. They don't have atheists running around in Muslim land. They believe in the wrong God, but at least they don't have atheists. And atheists virtually run the policy of this country. We won't hearken. Therefore, hear, O nations, and know, O congregations, what will happen to them. Hear, O earth, I will bring evil upon this people. Now notice, and we'll cover this a little bit more here, even the fruit of their thoughts. They're all covetous, they're all greedy, they're all going to pay the price for greed. Because they have not hearkened to my words, nor to my law, but have rejected it. Now, that's something. So then they try and be religious and say, oh, well, we're good people, we're good people, we're good people. All right, let's come here to Matthew 7. Let's look at a principle that's important. Matthew 7. And it's based upon a tree, and we'll get back to it a little later, but we'll start out this way. Matthew 7. And let's pick it up here. Let's pick it up here in verse 13. Matthew 7, verse 13, page 966. Enter in through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many are those who enter through it. See, because you get out and you do anything you want to, and Satan's right there to say, go ahead, do it. That's fine. Nothing will happen. That's the broad way. borrowing money you never intend to pay back? That's the broad way. Lying, cheating, and stealing? That's the broad way. Adultery? Dishonoring parents? Murder? That's the broad way. And that's what we're doing. For narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way that leads to life, and few are those who find it. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing and tell you, it's okay. It's okay. Remember the book? When that come out in the 60s? I'm okay. You're okay. You accept me and my sins, and I'll accept you and your sins. I'm okay. You're okay. You shall know them by their fruits. They do not gather grapes from thorns or figs from thistles, do they? In the same way, every good tree produces good fruit, but a corrupt tree produces evil fruit. Now we're dealing with a nation that is a corrupt tree, a financial system which is a corrupt tree. Comment was made that even within the various churches of God, they're not watching out for false prophets. They're lauding them and praising them and following them like lemmings over a cliff. So it's not just the people in the world. Now let's continue. A good tree cannot produce evil fruit. Nor can a corrupt tree produce good fruit. So you can't change the system as long as you keep doing the same things and worse. How can you expect crime to go away when those in the pulpit say Jesus came to do away with the law? How can you expect there to be honesty within the land when all of the politicians now, this time around, are blatantly corrupt, evil, and liars and cheats? And oh yes, Mr. Geithner, oh he's so brilliant. We've got to have him. Well, we know he cheated the IRS. We know he lied about it. We know that he took the money from the International Monetary Fund, which was to pay for his taxes, but he used it personally. But he's paid it now with penalties. Isn't he a good boy? He's going to be head of the United States Treasury Department. Before that, what did he oversee? He was in the New York Federal Reserve, which oversaw what? Wall Street. He's going to rescue us? They are blatantly corrupt. Is Barney Frank, the corrupt man, is he going to tell Geithner, hey, you're corrupt? Is Chris Dodd going to do it? Is Nancy Pelosi going to do it? Harry Reid going to do it? Is Obama going to do it? Are their ministers going to tell them? Are people going to stand up and say, you're living in blatant sin and you're causing this nation to go down? No. No. Cannot do it. Here's what's going to happen. Every tree that is not producing good fruit is cut down and cast into the fire. And fire is a sign of trial. I've also got another article here. U.S. destined to be reduced to a third world nation. It's going to happen. Verse 20, therefore you shall assuredly know them by their fruits. So we need to give Obama a little more time to produce a little more fruit before we can say what he's going to do. So far, his decisions that he has made have been very, very bad. Now, let's come here and look at some other things. Riches and false gain. For a while, you can get away with it. Just like that con man that I saw. Millions! Millions! Unreal. Let's come here to Mark 8. See, when they take the Ten Commandments out of the school and have no one stand up there and say, you shall not lie, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, has nothing to do with the day that they worship. Just those basic things honor your father and mother. What do we have? Kids who don't have any morals at all. All right, Mark 8, verse 34. Verse 34, here's part of the straight and narrow way. And when he had called the multitudes to him with his disciples, he said to them, "Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself, and let him take up his cross and follow me." And that means you deny your lust, you deny your greed, you deny your all your lies that you have within you, and you repent to God, and you go God's way and not your way. And let him take up his cross and follow me. Taking up your cross means you're going to whatever problems and difficulties that you're going to go through and being a Christian. For whoever desires to save his life shall lose it. And that's what we're trying to do. Oh, let's rescue the economy. Oh, let's rescue this. Let's rescue that. Let's rescue the other. Gonna lose it. But whoever will lose his life for my sake and for the gospel's sake, he shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his life? Have everything that you want. Now, remember Bernie Madoff? He did the unthinkable thing. He stole from fellow Jews. That is a no-no. And three brokers that worked under him in different countries, one in America, one in Britain, one in France, committed suicide. Did they lose their life? Yes, indeed. But you see, the only thing that you need to understand is this. Bernie Madoff was only doing what the Federal Reserve is doing and what the government is doing. And they like to pile on Bernie Madoff and say, well, let's put him in jail. Well, how about starting with some of our politicians, huh? Verse 37. For what shall a man give in exchange for his life? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes into glory of his Father with the holy angels. As we go along, I want you to remember one thing, because I'm going to give some stout words. What did Jesus say? His words shall never pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words shall never pass away. And when you read the Old Testament, you need to understand those are also the words of Jesus. We're going to read some things in the Old Testament here. All right. Let's come back to Proverbs 11. Proverbs 11. There are a lot of good things in the book of Proverbs. And that's why we have our youth series, the book of Proverbs. We'll have number 5 out pretty quick here. Proverbs 11. Proverbs 11. Verse 1. When God looks down from heaven, what does he look at? What does he see? All the lying, cheating, stealing, false dealing in business. We're just talking economics here. Then behind that, you have all of the lying, cheating, stealing with drugs and adultery and illegal sex and all of that sort of thing. But let's look at the economics. Verse 1, chapter 11, Proverbs. False balances are an abomination to the Lord, but a perfect weight is his delight. Now let's translate this. There's another proverb which says, do not let the seller say, oh, it's worth a lot, worth a lot, worth a lot. No, it's don't let the seller say, oh, it's worth nothing, buy it at this price, you know. And then who buys it runs away and says, oh, I really got a deal. Well, we have a business going out of business right next to us. It's a furniture store and so forth. And so they have a going out of business sale. And they've got a very deceptive sign out there. And the reason we know is because Doris went down to buy something. And it says 60 to 70% off. Everything must go wall to wall. So you walk in there and you think everything is discounted 60 or 70%. But it's not. and the sign didn't say that. 60 to 70% off, but it didn't tell you what. It said everything must go, so people assume with the phrase everything must go that everything is 60 to 70% off. And she went in and saw some pictures that were on sale for a fantastic price of $5.99, and she knew she could get it for $40 someplace else. Let's go on. Verse 2. When pride comes, then shame comes, but with the lowly is wisdom. That's self-evident. The integrity of the upright shall guide them. Because you know the law of God, you know the truth of God, you will not go and transgress against that. But the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. That's what we are seeing. Now here's another one to remember. Let's go to the next track, please.